maybe mankind. What I really constitute it is, it's our own predetermined desires of tradition. It's what we've determined in our heart already to be best. See, sometimes we have a tendency to think we know what's best, and we don't. And we predetermine in our hearts what God would have us to do instead of seeking God first. The scripture today, what we really see is we see men, Sadducees, Pharisees, who were an enemy to the gospel and they didn't even realize it. They thought they were standing up for God, but in reality they were standing against Him through their traditions and the desires of their heart. Friends, comfort feels really good, but comfort can be extremely dangerous. And the truth is that the devil is the leader in comfort and in tradition. And it's ultimately our choice to break what has frankly become a generational curse for churches across the nation, for men and women across the nation, for families across the nation. We need to keep tradition to the side in order to see what's in front of our own faces. The truth is that tradition can be a good thing in certain circumstances. We always open presents on Christmas morning. Tradition. Nothing wrong with that tradition. Maybe we always eat at a certain time, at a certain day. Nothing wrong with that tradition. But what if we allow our closed minds to cause unclean views and unclean lifestyles? Sadly, too many of us fall into this path. We live in worlds where we think we know what's best. And we live that way. And we've fallen into a trap that the devil has set for us, friends. I don't know how many of you have ever considered this thought. I've thought about this several times. What would it look like if I couldn't see anything? If I was blind, how terrifying would that be? I don't like being in a dark room myself anyway. So I close my eyes sometimes in my life and I've thought, this is what it must feel like to be blind. Well, it's not comforting. It's not good. But really, we've blinded ourselves from what God wants. We don't realize it, but we can't see what He really wants for us. We've been told we don't have to tithe unless money allows. I don't know if you've ever heard that. God wouldn't want you to tithe if tithing would take away from your family. Friends, tithing is what provides for your family. We've fallen into a trap into believing the devil's lies. He's taught us that laziness and a lack of commitment is okay because maybe that workplace or that individual has taken from us in some way. He's taught us that adultery and divorce are okay because God wouldn't want me unhappy. God wouldn't want me to be upset or displeased. God wouldn't want me to have to struggle. Friends, that's not what Job found. Job found that God put him in a situation to struggle. We've been told lies for generations, and they've changed our view of God Himself. And they've led us down a dark path. Frankly, for some of us, into generational sin that will never go away until we decide to commit to Jesus. In the times that was before us that we're about to read, the Pharisees and the scribes and Sadducees, they had these traditions. I was thinking about this the other day. Could you imagine being so caught up in your own tradition, so caught up in your own view, that you didn't get to work beside the Savior? They missed the Savior because of their traditions. They didn't go work with him. They were the enemy to him. Why were they the enemy to him? Too self-indulged, too consumed with themselves, too worried about their own tradition. Outwardly, they were concerned with the gospel, outwardly with God. The things of the law, they said. But inwardly, they weren't really concerned to those things. They were concerned to themselves. But stay with me this morning as we read God's Word in Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except to wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things were there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites? As it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, and ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more, do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Let's pray. Most holy God, as we bow before you once again, in your holy house in this holy moment, God, I simply pray today, would we not be consumed with our own tradition? God, would we look to you? Would we look for what you would have us to be? God, today I pray you would hide me behind the cross. You would use me to speak this truth. And I say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Think about this for just a moment. I'm going to step down here for just a moment because I want to get close to you. The disciples come in. They've not washed their hands. And they begin to eat. Begin to eat. No big deal, right? You wouldn't think. Sure, most of us would say, yeah, they probably should wash their hands, but it's not the end of the world. Well, the Pharisees, the scribes, had other news. They came in, you see, and if this was the place where they would wash their hands, they would come and they would wash their hands before they eat. We don't want to have dirty hands. That's what the law says. And it was just one of these minor things such as this that they missed the mark. You see, they were so worried about a minor nuance, a tiny little part of the law, they didn't really worship God. They said they did. With their mouths, they were the supreme beings, superior biblical theologians. They were top of the line. But with their hearts, they were more far from God than anyone. Friends, we can be guilty of that. We can be guilty of thinking with our mouths, talking with our mouths, and saying we're close to God. But really, in our hearts, being so far from Him that we have no idea who he really is. And friends, you probably know people
who choose to please themselves each and every time they have an opportunity instead of pleasing God. And they don't even realize it. And in our passage, the disciples, they had these dirty hands. They went to the Pharisees and the scribes, and the Pharisees and scribes really were nothing but evil. It was an interesting exchange because the disciples were eating, and the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, "Why aren't your disciples following the laws of the elders? Why aren't they doing what we've always done? We've always washed our hands." And they couldn't understand why the disciples would not follow this law. And they themselves were the ones missing the mark. Now, let's think about this for a moment. I don't know what time each of you eat dinner. Earlier than I should sometime. But, you know why I do that? My family always ate dinner early. 5:30. 5 sometimes even, maybe. If Dad got home early enough. It didn't matter. So when Katie and I got together, I started going out to her mom and dad's for dinner. Eddie, her dad, wasn't getting home till 7 o'clock. I was thinking, man, I'm starving to death out here. I haven't eaten, and I'm starving to death. Tradition. Not a bad tradition. Different people do things different ways. But your kids probably are going to want to eat dinner at a similar time as you ate dinner growing up. Why? Because it's the way it's always been. So it's what we always do. Now, as kids follow these tendencies of their parents, it isn't necessarily a bad thing in most circumstances, in most scenarios. But what if your kids and your grandkids see you like the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees? What if they see you praising God with your mouth, but with your heart, you're far from Him? Someone says, "I'd lie to get out of something," but then they say they're a Christian. How do those two things go hand in hand, friends? We have heard, you are what you eat, right? Spiritually, same thing. We're spiritually what we eat. We may even have biblical ancestors who followed Scripture. That doesn't mean we automatically adopt their views, but what's the tendencies, right? If your household was a Christian, if your mom and daddy were Christians, if they followed Jesus, you're more likely to. Statistics just prove it. But if we seek the truth of the gospel instead of the truth of tradition, how much would it change the trajectory of our lives and our kids' lives? You see, the truth is tradition can make us stagnant, kind of like it did those great scribes and Pharisees. It makes us focused on the wrong thing. And it makes us look toward us and what we would want. I'm sure all of you know, are well aware of this in life by now, but I'm going to remind you how much we hate change. We don't like it, do we? Change don't feel good. In fact, I've heard plenty of people say, "Can't we just leave things the way it all has always been?" Not if we want to grow in our faith. Because tradition, though not always bad, can lead to bad habits. Just as I said, if your parents had dinner every night at 6, when you got married, your spouses family ate it at 8, as mine did similarly to that, then you're going to think you're starving to death. And because you're so used to eating at 6, your stomach's going to be rumbling, your stomach's going to be growling, and you're going to want to know where the what it means is you're so used to 6 that 8 couldn't come quick enough. And for the scribes and Pharisees, the disciples were doing it all wrong. But in their eyes, they were. In my eyes, 7 o'clock, no way. Too late for me. But in the scribes and Pharisees' eyes, they kind of thought the same thing. No way that's right. No way they eat their food with defiled hands, with dirty hands. Friends, look at it this way. Tradition often equals comfort. Comfort often equals closed minds. Closed minds equals closed eyes. And closed eyes make it impossible for us to see what Jesus really wants of us. Just as though we're blind, we close our eyes to Jesus, focused on ourselves. We have an opportunity each and every time we wake up, each and every day we live, to break generational sins, generational habits, generational traditions that are ungodly. And we have an opportunity to see the gospel better and clearer and to fully understand it more each and every day. And that opportunity comes only when we're receptive to what God says and not what we say. When we eliminate all elements of distraction in our lives. And that includes tradition. You see, in our passage, Jesus encouraged the Pharisees and the scribes to avoid the traditions they were holding, because it was causing a lack of spiritual truth. It was leading them down a dark path, down a corrupt path, where dirty hands meant more than Jesus Christ, where the law meant more than the gospel. And it had led them to worry more about the views of the elders than the actual sins in front of their very own eyes. So consumed, so misled, and so confused. But sin wasn't the issue for them anymore. See, you would think a spiritual leader should hate sin, but the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they didn't hate sin. They hated if you broke the traditions. They hated if you broke the law. They hated if you broke the standards that the elders before them had set. And they were missing the mark. It had led, Jesus told the Pharisees that they were allowing their traditions to be upheld, even if it meant turning their backs on God's very word. And he not only told them this, but he gave them an example. He said in verses 10 and 11, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall." Some of us have heard the phrase, "You can't see the forest for the trees." Have you ever heard that phrase, church? Yeah. Figured so. We've all heard it. This is, in essence, what Jesus was teaching them. Jesus was saying, you can't see the truth because you're too busy trying to defend your own version of the truth. You've created this version of truth. You've created this version of right and wrong, and you think you know what's right and wrong, and you're so busy trying to defend it that you can't see real sin, you can't see real truth. Friends, we can be guilty of that, believe it or not. I know we think it's only the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes that were like this. But are you aware that we can be like this too? Are you aware that we can create our own version of the truth, and we can convince ourselves what's right and what's wrong based off what we think in our minds and in our hearts? And it's really not right and wrong. It's really not sin or not sin. And then it becomes about us. I'm certain you've all heard plenty of stories over the years of different churches and different organizations coming at aught and splitting over foolish things. Some things as dumb as the color of the carpet. But the reality is this, it's not a sin matter. It's not a sin matter. It was a tradition matter. It was a Green Valley's always had blue carpet, so we're always going to have blue carpet matter. And I don't know if you've always had blue carpet or not, I just use that for an example. Why? always blue carpet. Because that's what the elders did? How foolish of us if we do that. How closed-minded of us if we do that. We cannot be so focused on our own truth because it is what we are used to that we avoid the actual truth. Now friends, there's nothing wrong with tradition. Don't hear me wrong. Tradition comes in the way. Tradition is the problem when it becomes our heart. When it consumes us. When it becomes all over us and it's the only thing that matters to us anymore. And we miss the mark when that happens. We become so focused on our own truth that we don't see God's truth. We become so focused on our own traditional view of the way life should be and the way things should be around us that we don't see what God wants of us. That can be true for our own personal lives. That can be true in the lives of our church. That can be true in our really anything that we're involved in. That we can become so focused on ourselves that we become that way. The truth of the gospel is just that. It is the truth. The truth of sin is just that. Sin is sin. Sin will always be sin. God clearly outlined sin in the Bible. And probably if you're willing to go to war for a battle that's not a sin issue, friends, we have to allow ourselves to be open to the world around us. To temporarily put out our own views to the side, that doesn't mean don't have morals, don't have standards. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to be take what's taking place. When Jesus himself is speaking to us, are we listening? Or are we saying, no, God, we can't do that because it goes against what the elders did. We cannot come to a place where we let true sin slide, where we let true issues slide, and we bind ourselves to the truth, all in the name of tradition. We need to stand up for the truth of God. And we need to allow our church's lifestyle, the way that our church is, okay, to radiate Jesus. That's all it needs to say. It just needs to show Jesus. And when people come into this place, they need to see Jesus. They need to see that sin will not be tolerated here and God will be uplifted here. That's what they need to see. We cannot allow our own spiritual traditions to hinder us from following the truth of God's Word. During sin, isn't it funny? The devil has a way of always convincing us what's right and what's wrong. For example, and I know I'm moving a lot, Hunter, I'm sorry. For example, it's just a little white lie. It might get me out of it. I won't have to deal with it anymore if I just tell this little white lie. If I just one time. What's the truth we've always been told? What's one lie lead to? Another lie. That's right, Dwight. Another lie. And it's endless. It tends to be. One sin leads to another sin leads to another sin. But the devil, he won't tell you that, will he? The devil will tell you, it's just one sin. It'll get us out of it. It'll clean the slate. You only have to do it this one time and we're free. But that's not the reality of sin and that's not the reality of our lives. The reality is if you're a kid and you go to your mama and you tell her a white lie, mommy knows me. Like the back of her hand. And she's going to ask that next question. And then you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to tell another white lie to get out of that one. And it just gets deeper. Just as I'm sure he had convinced the Pharisees and the scribes of the same truth. He convinced them, you're right. The tradition of the elders is the way to go. You're right. It's always been this way. And they were so convinced that they were willing to uphold their traditional view before God's view. Let's not become like them. Let's not become convinced that sin is okay. And the truth is, the tradition will always be a part of our life, and that is okay if we don't allow it to consume our heart. Tradition forces us to become so close-minded at times, if we don't keep it in check, that we become unreceptive to anything that God would have us to do. Jesus knew that the Pharisees' traditions were holding them back. They couldn't see the gospel. They couldn't see the forest for the trees because they were too busy looking at their tradition. They couldn't see the big picture. And they couldn't see who Jesus really was. Just as I said earlier, could you imagine that? Being so blind to the Messiah himself that he was standing in your presence. He was standing right there. And you didn't work with him. You had the opportunity as spiritual leaders to work with the Messiah himself. But you became his enemy in the name of tradition. What a missed opportunity for them. The only truth that they could maintain was their own truth. And for generations, they developed their own idea of right and of wrong. Time and time again, they would come up with laws. Right? What a joke. Laws. They called them laws. What they really were was trying to keep the world the way that they wanted it to be. But Jesus came in and he revolutionized everything. He changed everything and they didn't like it. Why? Because it broke everything that they'd set in place for years. In the Pharisees' situation, Jesus was literally right on top of them, telling them what they should do, clear as black and white. Problem was, they couldn't see the gospel. They were too busy doing things the way they'd always done it, and they were stuck with Pharisee tradition. So in a world that is full of sin, in a world where sin is okay, as you look around to your friends and to your family even at times probably, you'll find them justifying sin. Why do they do that? Because the world of tradition has said sin isn't just okay, it's expected. It's expected. In this world where sin grasps father, mother, son, daughter, and it continues for years, are we going to be the ones to break it? Are we going to be the ones to break it in our personal lives and in the lives of our church? Listen to what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. That's a simple encouragement from me today. I pray God today. If he was standing before you and he was looking at you right now and he was evaluating your life and he knew all the traditions, he knew all the sins, he knew everything you'd ever done, because he does know those things. He's just not physically standing here with us, but his spirit is. But if he was physically standing here with us, what would he tell you? As he told the Pharisees where they were going wrong. I'm certain he's got plenty of areas he would tell Brandon. But what would he tell you? Where are you missing the mark? Where is tradition taking over? Where is sin slipped? Where have you let it in? Where have you embraced it even? Tradition is so often blinding to the gospel. And we stand in our own way. We become our own worst enemy. But each time that you take a breath, each day that's made new, we have an opportunity to change that. Praise God for grace today. Praise God that we have the opportunity to be redeemed when we don't deserve it. And praise God that even if we've followed false traditions in our life, even if we've neglected sin, that God can change that today.
you would, bow with me in prayer.
Father, as we call upon your name today, God, your holy name stood in the midst of the Pharisees. It stood in the midst of the scribes. It stood in the midst of the Sadducees. And time again, you gave them clear direction. You couldn't have been any clearer. It was just like they were reading it on a paper. It was just as though they had the opportunity to change multiple times. And they chose not to. God, they chose tradition. They chose their own life. And as we know, you've clearly taught us that if we are not greater than those, if we are not greater than those Sadducees and Pharisees, then we will not enter the kingdom of God today. So God, I pray today, if there's one before us, if there's multiple before us, whoever is before us, it says they have placed tradition over top of the gospel, they have placed tradition over sin, and they've become blind to what you want. God, open their eyes today. God, would your Spirit come and break their heart? God, would they come to this altar in repentance today? God, I pray you would make it abundantly clear to them, just as you did the Pharisees and Sadducees. But God, I want it to be different today. I pray it be different today. I pray that they would move when you make it clear. God, work in our hearts, work in our minds, as Brother Marty comes here in just a moment. As you clear the paths of our hearts, as you reveal to us, God, help us to move. Help us to take that first step. I say these things in your name. Amen.